We'll start with you, and you can just introduce yourself, your first name, your maiden name, and your married name, mm-hmm. and when you were born, and where.
Okay. Well, my name is Joanne Bradshaw Keir. My maiden name was Bradshaw. I came from a pioneer family that settled here in the early 1900s. I was born and raised in Guymon, went all through school here, and still live here.
What year were you born?
I was born in 1930.
Okay. You can be number two.
Okay. Margie Lawson. Lane. What else? It was born in Cimarron County in the community at Willabar.
And in what year?
1924.
Okay.
My name is Alice Lawson Humphrey, H-U-M-P-H-R-E-Y. I was born in 1923 in the Willabar community in Cimarron County.
All right.
My name is Lucille Lawson Burge, B-U-R-D-G-E, Cabis. And I was born in the same place that they were born in,
and
in 1925.
And whereabouts in Cimarron County is the Willabar community? Is that spelled just like it sounds, Willabar?
It's about 10 miles west of Boise City, east of Boise City.
Do you know where Keys is?
Yeah.
All right, where it's probably, what, 6 miles? No, about 4 miles.
No, south.
It's six miles.
Southwest.
Southwest
of Keys.
Mm-hmm. And it was just, there was just a store there and...
A post office.
And it was an adobe building that used to be, what, a mile from where we grew up, where we were born?
It was a second Willabar. That was an original Willabar that was north of it.
Is that building still there?
No.
There's an old adobe building that's still barely hanging on out in that area. I thought that might have been part of it.
No, it's all gone and they're...
It was finally torn down in 1953, I believe.
Big dry land lake there one time.
Yes, there was.
After we had that hailstorm.
The original Willabar was close to that lake.
Oh, was it? I didn't know that.
Well, let's talk about what life was like when the four of you were growing up. Do you remember the house where you lived?
Oh, yes. It's still there.
Can you describe it for us?
Yes, it's a two-story house. Right now it's green. It was white when I lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And it had belonged to my grandfather, who lived two blocks down the street south. And it had two big dormer windows in the front of it, and it still does. In fact, it looks pretty much like it did, except they put a different color on it.
Do you remember how many rooms are inside?
Yes, 8.
Wow.
4 upstairs and 4 down.
And how many people were living there?
Well, my father was gone after 1937, so my sister and I and my mother.
So 3 people in 8 rooms?
Mm-hmm, but we didn't use the upstairs very much. It was kind of my playhouse.
Wow, you were doing all right then.
You really.
Now, how does that compare with where you guys live?
Different.
Yeah, could you describe your house?
She and I were born in the dugout. Alice was born in my grandparents' home. We lived there only about, in the dugout, we were only there about a year and a half, I guess, and we moved to Boise City and lived in about a 3-room adobe house in Boise City. Then we moved back to the farm.
What year was that we moved back to the farm?
In 34.
34.
Okay. So I let them go ahead,
mm-hmm.
sorry.
Alice?
You want me to tell about the little house we lived in? We lived in 2 rooms, wasn't it, there? Then my father built a big room on to the west of the house while I was at home. Then while I was in college, they added 3 more rooms while I was in college. I didn't live in those like that.
I mentioned also, when we built on, they were adobe. And the second adobe structure used adobes from the old store.
Hmm.
See, See, so that brings us back to that Willabar store there, because we use some of those.
Just recycled.
We hadn't really heard that word then. But.
Right. You were doing it all the same.
Because we had to.
Oh, I was going to see what it was like growing up in an adobe house.
Cool.
It was cool and it was warm. Cool. It needed to be
like
both
cold.
Ways.
The walls are yay thick, you know.
Thick.
Would you rather live in an adobe house now? Would it be something you'd like to do right now?
I wouldn't mind at all.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because the walls were well plastered and Mother painted every year.
So you can paint the inside of the house just like a normal
house? Oh, yeah, because
it just have normal walls like any house would have inside.
Yeah. What was the floor?
It's wooden, wasn't it?
Linoleum.
Wooden, and we normally had linoleum on the floor, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have carpet. We didn't have air conditioning. That's really important.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your four playrooms. What were you doing up there?
I love dolls, and I had all kinds of toys, you know. Mm-hmm. There was 7 years difference between I and my sister, so I was the baby. And I played house up there a lot with my friends. I had a friend across the street that we played a lot together. And I also collected movie star pictures.
Yeah? Like, who were your favorites?
Gosh, I don't know. I liked Alan Ladd.
Yeah.
And Lana Turner, you know. Some of those that the others haven't heard about. But we had, my sister had a lot of large collection too. You'd send off a postcard and they'd send you back an autographed picture, glossy. And we put them on the walls and the walls were just papered with them.
Did you keep them?
They got stolen.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean they'd be worth some money now.
Sure.
But I don't have them now. But that was what. There was a large, a stairway, of course, going up. It had 13 steps, I remember that. And no one either, 19. And my duty every Saturday morning was to clean them.
That's how come you know how many there were.
Yeah. And with soap and water, water and, you know, on a rag, and start at the top and go down every Saturday morning and clean the stairs. that opened up into the front door, and they were always dirty because there was always dirt coming in.
What kind of chores did you guys have to do?
Not anything that simple. We milk cows and slaughter the pigs and cleaned the chicken houses and helped in the garden. And what else did we do?
Helped in the field.
Helped in the field. We
had it maize. We shot the feed. We got to eat.
And you drove the tractor some too. You were the only one that got to do that.
Why did you get to drive the tractor?
Probably because that was the biggest fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lucille had a fever. She didn't do too much. She didn't come back.
Well, that didn't keep me from doing a lot. But that might have been one reason I didn't get in the field that much. But we used to head maize.
And you were
if you smart. Ever heard of anybody heading maize with a knife.
The cutting feeder.
Yeah. You all, that's probably foreign to you, alien to you.
Never done it, that's for sure.
I doubt if anybody does it now.
Do you remember your neighbors when you lived in town?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we had a family next door that there was the grandparents and the children and the grandchildren, you know, they just all lived there.
Yeah.
Had a good, nice lady that lived a couple of three houses down that we were good friends with. She was a school teacher. And she had a daughter about my age. We had people across the street when I was very small, they babysat me. Mm-hmm. Two different families that took care of me during the day because my mother worked.
What did your mom do?
My mother was a secretary. And she worked for the Long Agency for about 35 years. Mm-hmm. That's an insurance agency here in town. Before that, she worked during the war, she worked for the Ration Board. And then she worked for the Extension Office out of Stillwater. It's been here a long time. And I went to work as soon as it was legally possible.
Yeah. How old were you when you first went to work?
Well, I was in junior high. 14 probably, 14
yeah.
or 15.
What did you do?
Worked at the 10 cent store.
Yeah?
And then I worked at the bank when, you know, I was a little older. And then I was a legal secretary. And then I went back to school and became a school teacher. So.
I would guess that your neighbors were probably farmers too.
Right.
Did they have children that ever came over to play?
Well, they were younger than we.
Not much.
But not much, but we did play together a lot.
What kind of things were you guys doing?
Well, we were talking about it the other day, that they had a building that was covered up with sand. We were talking about that, and we would roll down that hill, and we played all kinds of games there, didn't we? But their names were Overstreet, and they lived about a quarter of a mile from us.
I was reading back to my diary of 1935, that particular year. We had ice cream a lot. I don't know, when somewhere out, every other day we were having ice cream. If we didn't, our neighbors didn't, would invite us down there. So I don't know if we did that to get cool or not, but we always had ice cream.
Lots of milk, huh?
Mm-hmm. And cream.
Lots of cream.
And ice would be brought in.
We'd have to
bring it from
Boy
City.
My ice refrigerator was, we had a card that you put in the window, and it was red, blue, green, and yellow, I believe, you know. And you put the little thing up for the how many pounds, and each color was a different pound. And the iceman would come by. And he wore a leather thing on his back, and he carried this chunk of ice, and he'd come in the back door, and he put it in our refrigerator. And
in your ice box?
In
your
ice box,
okay.
Yes.
Ice box. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing
like
that.
That's what electric. We all had then.
And it was my job to empty the water.
Oh, well, I hated that.
It was a drip pan underneath, you know,
yeah.
Where it gradually melted. And you just take an ice pick and chip off what you wanted.
And a lot of times that ice pan ran over.
I'm sure it did.
But when we lived in Boy City, we just lived about a block and a half from the ice plant. And sometimes we needed ice before it was time for the ice man to come around, so we would take our wagon and go over and get the ice. And one would pull a wagon, and the other two would lick on the ice all the way back.
I didn't remember that.
We would, and then part of the way we'd have to change so that the other one, the wagon leader would get licked too.
I remember all the kids in town following up.
Oh yeah.
And he'd take this ice pick and pick off a little corner and hand it to you, you know.
Oh, really?
Okay, and I'm going to get your name.
This is a woman deal.
My husband really wanted to come too.
What's your first name, Mr. Kier?
We discouraged
Dean.
him. He wanted to come so he could talk, because he'd lived through this too. So.
Well, Dean really remembers more than I do.
Yeah, and I think Marion would remember. They remember more than I do too.
You seem to be remembering quite a bit as we go on.
That's all right. Well, how do you guys handle everyday needs, like cooking, cleaning, housework? We know you scrubbing the stairs, and they're out in the field.
Well, no, we help clean house. Everybody envied our mother because there were three of us, and we really got through the house fast.
Mm-hmm. We also went at the neighbor's house.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Y'all did.
She was having babies in the hospital, so we would have to take care of the kids. They were only about less than a quarter of a mile from this place.
Tell us about wash day.
Oh, Mother was up before dawn because she wanted to be the first person in the whole community that had their wash on the line first. And she did.
And a lot of the times, if you got it out early, you could get it back in before the dirt started blowing. Mm-hmm. And that was a problem.
Because we certainly didn't have a dryer.
And our washing machine was one that you had to, it was a gasoline motor, you know, and you had to stomp on it to
start it. Well, in Boy City, it was electric.
Yeah, in Boy City, it was electric, but out there it was a gasoline motor.
Mother washed by hand. She scrubbed on the scrub board.
Well, so
we did some, too.
Mother did, too.
And boiled the clothes.
Right, you had to heat your water.
Yeah.
Even for washing dishes.
In a great big boiler, didn't she? We always had the heated the water in a great big boiler. Set on stuff.
A lot of kerosene stuff.
Mm-hmm. How about ironing? That looked like quite a job for pictures I've seen.
I have I use it for a doorstop now, but it was an iron that that the handle came off, you know.
Called a sat iron.
But you could put it on the burner and heat it up, mm-hmm. and then you'd iron. Of course, we had electric iron later.
Yeah.
But I can remember using that when it was just a real small job and real quick, you know.
And we used it when it was big jobs.
Gasoline iron.
A gasoline iron. That sounds yeah. dangerous.
We went.
No, it's a sat iron that you just heated on the stove.
Gas, and we must have used those in 2 or 3 years.
Oh, we used sat iron for 2 or 3 years, and then they gasoline.
Well, they worked good.
Oh, they sure did.
You need to ask us about lights, too.
Well, tell us about lights.
Well, what we use first? Just plain kerosene lamps? And then we graduated to gas lanterns?
Carbide.
Was it carbide?
Probably.
Well, they had the little mantles.
Had those little mantles.
The little white mantles, is that what it is, Dean?
No, that they weren't carbide.
No, that was gasoline lamp.
Ours was gasoline.
And then
and if you touched those little things after they burnt, why then they would break apart and then you'd have to put a new one of those little bags on.
It's just the
ash.
Yeah.
And it's like the shine up the chimney when it goes in.
Mm-hmm. And you use newspaper because it did it east quicker and better.
Yeah. Huh. Do you remember when you first got electricity?
Yes, but we had it earlier than most anybody because our dad had a windmill thing.
Wind charger.
And so we had it earlier than most anybody did. We also had a telephone. It was a party line, but our dad helped keep the lines up.
Let me tell you about the wind charger. You didn't always have the same level of light. It depended on the wind, how wind was blowing.
The wind charger was a battery system.
Mm-hmm.
It charged the batteries, had a series of batteries, like in the well house or something. And that was your source of power.
Little tower that would have been going up.
What all would the wind charger power? Would it just be lights or could you run
a radio?
Radio and lights. The main
radio and lights.
Yeah, that's about all ours did.
It wouldn't have been enough to run an electric stove or anything, or even electric iron would have been too on it. It had to be small wattage.
Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you could run a toaster on it too, do you?
I don't know. About that, but I know everybody had the radios, and electric appliances, and it wouldn't run electric appliances, so I don't believe.
Mrs. Keir, do you remember the first time you got electricity?
Oh, I don't remember ever not having electricity.
Yeah.
I'm a city girl, you know.
Yeah, that makes a difference.
We had electricity in Boise City when we moved, so we had to get used to not having it when we moved.
Yeah, what was that like, that you had it and then you didn't?
It was different.
We had to do our studying early.
Yeah.
Because we went to bed pretty early, too. So.
Where did you go to school?
She went here, you know that.
I went here all my 12 years. Yes, Diamond.
Well, honestly, I went to Boise City through the 5th grade, moved back to the farm, and then I graduated from Keyes.
Alice, what about you?
You were
yes, I went
sixth
to
grade. You were seventh
grade.
Seventh grade when we moved to the farm, and I was the third grade.
Mm-hmm. We moved from Boise City to Keyes, and Boise City had a large school at the time. We had 3 6th grades, and we moved to Keyes, and we had 2 grades in one room.
But in my 5th grade class at Boise City, there were 50 students.
Wow, that's a big class.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's big. Wow.
Mm-hmm. What was your...
Then we have now.
How many students were in your class in Diamond?
When we graduated, it was 86. And that was a large class.
Well, ours were smaller. What was yours?
6.
And yours was?
7.
And I had 10 in mine.
That was 66 instead of 86.
What was your favorite subject in school?
English.
Yeah? Why did you like English?
I don't know. It was easy for me, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe you might like to read or something.
If I ever went back and got an advanced degree, that's what I'd get again.
Yeah?
But I liked English. When I taught, I tried to make it a little more interesting because it's sure something that isn't too fun.
Yeah. How about you guys? What did you like in school?
I think I liked English.
I liked math, too.
And it was history.
Yeah?
Good for you.
And she still is pretty much
along that line.
Maybe she can talk more because she knows background on so much.
guys doing? You were about, you know, maybe preteen to teenage years. What were you doing for fun and entertainment?
Well, we all three played basketball.
Well,
I don't know if you did or not. We all three played basketball. And
after we were a little bit older. Now you said preteen.
Like 12 to
oh,
about
younger
15
than
that.
Okay.
Yeah. What were you doing?
Okay, we were in 4-H, but didn't.
Very active in
4-H. Active in 4-H.
And active in our church.
Yeah, I don't think we'd started play parties yet then.
No.
But that's something we do want to mention. If you've never been to a play party, have you ever been to a play party?
Doesn't sound familiar.
Well,
maybe we didn't call it that.
Yeah.
Well, no. It was just done during the Dust Bowl years when there really was not, and nobody had any money, and where there really wasn't much of any place to go, and they'd have it at different homes. On like Saturday night, wasn't it?
Saturday.
You all need to tell. You know more about them than I went. But I went along with you all, which you were thrilled to death with.
Sort of a musical thing. Somebody would go on the place, circle, you know, kind of.
It's sort of like square dancing,
yeah,
and circle dancing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you remember the names of any of the dances?
Oh, golly, we sang to them, didn't we? Skipped them a boo and that type of thing.
Oh, yeah,
but
we had many. But a different family would host it each Saturday night, and it was well sponsored.
And I don't, did we use car lights?
Yep.
For lights?
Unless they had yard lights.
Yeah.
Finally, they got where they had yard lights, and then we danced to the yard lights.
But I think we had the most fun. You know, it was just wonderful.
We also went to the show in Boyd City. Shirley Temple was real popular then. And that's if anyone I remember, Shirley Temple.
Well, Clark Gable and Norma Shearer and all of those.
Us the Dime.
Mm-hmm.
Was the Dime in Philly.
We had a movie theater early, and Margie and my aunt, who was a year older than we would go to. Lucille wasn't old enough to go yet. We was probably three, four, and five when we were going to the movies, and they'd come to a scary part, and I could not stand scary things, so I'd crawl under the seat, and Lena would do it.
And Margie would
tell us, the scary part's over, you can get up and you sing now. That's really true.
When we had the show here, I drew for bank night. Before I was old enough to go to school.
Yeah,
and
that?
Well, they won prizes, dishes maybe, or whatever one of the merchants in town wanted to donate or something like that, you know. But everybody that went in, I guess, I can't remember because I never did it, but I think they probably signed a little sheet of paper or something, and then I drew it out of a basket, and that person got a prize for being there, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then later I worked at the show for a few years, ushering. There was the Royal Theater that was right down the street here, and then after that the American. And there, you know, there was two shows at one time, both owned by the same family. And you talked last night of something about Annie Over and Kick the Can and things. We did both of those. My house was built to where the two dormers we'd throw, and if I remember right, it was a tennis ball that we'd throw over the roof, and somebody'd be on the other side, you know, and catch it and throw it back, and we had
them. If they caught it, though, they got to go around the house and chase the other people.
Well, yeah, but how could you believe them?
Could you believe they caught it?
Yeah,
they
didn't see
it.
we just, yeah. But we had a large group of kids in our neighborhood, and a lot at night, especially in the summertime, we played Kick the Can.
Yeah.
And there was a church across the street that had a wide sidewalk, and that's where we put the can. And you know, after dark, you'd get out and you'd hide in the trees and you'd hide in the bushes and people's yards and everything else. You wouldn't any more do that now than anything.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a shame.
But it was a lot of fun. There was probably 12, 15 kids playing there at some time or other.
I have to mention about we used to have a group that came in once a year. We're called the Hazel Herd. performance did they ever come to Guyman? And we had the drawings.
They were in tents. Well, I mean, they were in a tent, weren't they?
No, they performed in
the
theater.
Oh, they did the theater? Okay.
And we had the drawings, but they used the tickets, half the ticket they took off when you went in the draw.
That's probably what they did.
Has anybody ever mentioned that to you all before, the Hazelhurd?
Dish is that type of thing.
Yeah.
Hazelhurd?
Hazelhurd, H-A-Z-E-L, H-U-R-D, isn't it?
What is it, what?
They just did.
Hazelhurd shows, they danced and sang and different stuff.
Variety show.
Yeah.
Yeah, variety, that's good.
And the theater would be packed.
Yeah. Did they have advertisements that said they're coming to town?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that the tickets weren't any more than a dime if they were that. Don't you imagine about a dime?
I imagine.
That's about all everybody.
That was when we were still living it down.
Do you look forward to the Hazelhurd shows coming in? It was something that, like, the carnival thing began.
Yes.
Well, we had a lot of carnivals too.
I can remember being in stores and everybody.
We weren't allowed.
Watched them close.
Yeah, they really watched them. But they all had on long dresses. Yeah, I don't mean men, women.
Mm-hmm. Quite ornate too. The dresses were
beautiful.
Or some of them were quite ornate. Mm-hmm. And they were very dark skinned people. And small, most of them were small, weren't they? I mean, they were thin people. Mm-hmm. And we were not allowed out of the house while they were there.
The gypsies?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
They were known to steal children.
And since we were blonde, since we were blonde, they felt like we would be taken. So they never, we didn't get to play outside.
Do you remember how the men dressed?
I don't.
I don't even remember what transportation they had. I just don't admit that.
I sort of thought they were in cars, so old cars, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Big cars.
Big cars, yeah. They were all big cars.
Oh, yeah, I remember just seeing them walk by.
I don't remember how the men were dressed, but I remember the women being longer dresses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of bangles.
Yeah.
Don't go down there where the gypsies are. They're stinging. Get you out of there.
And you know they wouldn't have.
No.
But everybody was, and they came through our town quite often when we lived there.
Like, would you say two or three times a month?
No, two or three times a year.
Yeah,
I imagine.
No more than that.
Yeah. Not any more often than that.
I don't know how they made a living. Unless they, did they beg?
I think they stole.
Stole?
I think so. The good thing. Mm-hmm.
I think that's
why the owners
watched them so close. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember them coming into Guyman?
Huh.
No,
I don't.
Probably smaller towns, I imagine.
There may have been a law about it. I don't know, because they had laws about
other
people,
blacks.
Black people couldn't stay overnight.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the panhandle, I think.
And there may have been a law that said they couldn't come in. I don't know.
I can't remember ever seeing more than just a few blacks in my young life, can you?
Well, that lasted a long time, that law.
Mm-hmm. We just didn't have nothing. Oh.
This gypsy deal, all of you. Know where Oklahoma Park is? My grandparents' house was only a two blocks or so from there, and they camped out down at Oklahoma Park. And Oklahoma Park then was just a few small trees and a barbed peninsula or something. And I remember seeing them. They put tents up and they'd camp out there a night or two or whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's an odd thing. It's an odd occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, they probably weren't accepted by, you know, the populace at all. And they knew that.
Probably kind of like our hippies now.
Yeah.
You're talking about, I don't know about the girls here, but as youth here, we made all of our own toys. We didn't have any money. And everything that we played with, we made, and I can remember, like, stilts, rubber guns, sidewalk scooters. We made a sidewalk scooter very similar to these new scooters we have today, but we took an old skate that had wheels on the front and the back and cut it in two or pulled it in two and put one end on one end of the scooter and the other end on the other scooter. You'd go like a house of fire. Because the scooter was you had a 2x4 for the bottom, come up with a two-by-four and put a brace on the side and put an animal on the top. I've made several of them. And usually, just like these kids are using these, what do they call these new scooters?
It's a scooter of type.
Yeah.
Scooter.
Well, I know it had a...
Blade.
Razor.
Yeah.
Is it a razor scooter?
Razor.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Made very similar to that, only pretty, you know, a lot cooler.
Yeah.
But same idea.
But those are not coming around.
That's the truth.
If he just thought to invent
it. Took a lot of years for it to come down.
It's got, you could ride them up and down the sidewalk, huh? And marbles, jacks.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff, you know, very cheap, but...
Jumping rope.
Roll tires. You remember we rolled tires and then had black all over us?
Yeah. When I was teaching school, I decided that they were going to get indoctrinated into some of those old things, you know. Of course, they always like to jump rope.
Yeah.
So that was not a problem, but I had a big can of marbles that Dean had owned, and I brought them to school, and we got out and played marbles, you know, and they'd never played marbles before. They'd never played jacks before. The hula hoop was kind of a new thing for them, too. Mm-hmm. That's a little later on, but... You know, some of the old things that they've never been.
We played jacks a lot there in recess at noon hour in school in North City.
Is marbles more of a boys' game?
Probably. Except
for me. I was playing marbles.
Well, I had marbles too. I had a big
gallon can of marbles.
But my mother made me always give them back to the boys. I could never keep them.
You draw a circle on the ground, take a stick and scratch a circle. I mean, everybody would have to put in, what call it, the A cup or something like that. So many marbles in the center. Then you had tops. We'd spin those tops out into the marbles, and you got all the marbles that your top could knock out of the circle.
I never did
and
get to do
that. Big deal, you know. I mean, if you could spin your top good, well, you could get more marbles.
And there were shooters.
Do you remember the turn leg?
Shoot them out a little bigger.
The turn leg.
You got them on the edge of the circle and shoot it in.
You had to throw it and see if it got closest to the...
You just keep hitting it until you knocked it out. And then you got it. And there was agates, you know. Some.
I don't know why the kids play marbles anymore.
Yeah,
they do.
I don't know.
I haven't seen them.
There was kind of a marble game that came out. Those milk caps.
Oh, yeah.
There was a game just about like marbles. It was played with activity meets almost or something.
Yeah. Monopoly is an old game that we did a lot. I mean, it could last several days. Yeah. And an original Monopoly set is probably a keeper now.
Yeah.
If anybody went to the, you know, we didn't think about keeping things then.
Yeah.
When you lost part of it or broke it or something.
Pretty well worn out too by the time.
Yeah, you wore them out and then you threw them
away. Yeah, because we used to play a lot of board games during the Dust Bowl years.
Checkers.
When we shaped playing inside.
Yeah.
Canasta.
What was the point that was a star and marbles?
Chinese
checkers. We used to play a lot of Chinese checkers.
Coming back.
Canasta had, you know, it was a thick deck like that.
Double deck, I think, or maybe triple.
Must have been a double deck.
Yeah, and it was, you melded it. It was a very good game.
We played
card game.
We were still playing that. We lived in South Dakota.
Yeah, adults and kids played that. Everybody played that.
Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite things to play on at school in Boise City was the giant stride. Did you go up front to do that?
Mine too.
You remember that?
What is that?
Well, a tall pole.
You hung on two deals here.
You
well, you hung on, they had, it hung down from, had probably eight or ten on one, didn't it? And you would hang on like this, and you'd run as hard as you could, and everybody would go around, you know, like that. But you did it just with your arms, you didn't sit anywhere.
Yeah, I think I've done that.
Your arms and your legs. And you get to go fast enough, and you'd spin. Get you off your feet.
Push you out around that
thing. Yeah, they could push you.
By your own.
Yeah, you had a whole
Yeah. Head. Okay, no, it was graduated. You were holding one hand here and one here across the bar that was hanging down. This was a long, well, kind of like on a rope or a chain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this, and that bar across the top, so you were on like this, and you'd run as hard as you could with everybody else running.
As hard as
they
could.
People used to get behind them and just push you out around.
Yeah.
They could bring the sailors out around.
Yeah.
And one day a girl pushed me and the bell rang.
Giant stride.
Yeah, and the bell rang, and so I knew I couldn't be late, so I jumped off and sprained my ankle, and the teacher had to take me home. I was hurt so badly.
Cracked the whip.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. And red,
I
and
cracked my head open one time over the school wall.
You didn't do crack the whip, you cracked
your head.
I
was on the wrong end.
We used to play kick the can all the
time. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Mother May I.
Yeah.
Simon Says.
Well, do any of you remember going on your first date and what you did?
I've got to tell you about this.
Okay.
My husband and I were in the first grade together and went clear through school together. And so I'm sure my first date was not with him. No, I'm sure it was. But we used to go to the show and just meet there. You know, everybody pay their own way and meet at the show. And oh, that was probably a first date, maybe. I don't know. But I'd known him a long time before I went with him. I had to check him out again.
He had to pass the test first.
Yeah, when in the first grade we put on this, it was just at the time that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs had come out. And this would be like 36, something like that, 37 maybe. And I was Snow White. I don't know why, because I was a blonde. But anyway, he was the prince. And he was supposed to, after I ate the poison apple, you know, he was supposed to carry me off, and he couldn't pick me up. So he went back and got a couple of his friends, and they each took hold of an arm and a leg and dragged me off of the stage.
How romantic.
Oh, yes, yes. That's the reason I had to think about it a while before I dated him.
You need a movie.
What about you guys?
I don't remember my first one. Alice probably does.
I'm sure ours was still playing. We probably went together, but I don't remember.
But I know I couldn't date till I was 16.
You couldn't?
I wasn't supposed
to. I thought you started at 13. I thought you started at 13, Alice.
Wasn't supposed to. You two different things.
I was 12, I think, when I had my first
date. Yeah, but then, see, Mother allowed you to go date a lot younger than I did. I never understood that.
She was driving a tractor.
Yeah.
See, that was the advantage of driving a tractor. She got to start dating earlier.
I learned to drive a car by driving down to a mailbox.
And she used to scare me to death. I went along with her.
In the car, she
used to scare me? Yeah, our mailbox was a mile from the house, and Margie would say, Mother, can I go? And we did. Yeah,
we didn't own a car.
Yeah.
My mother didn't own a car until mid-50s. So we walked everywhere we went, unless I happened to be with somebody that had a car.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know how to drive until I was in my 20s. So it was a walking situation.
That's why everybody was thin, I think.
Well, let's talk about the dust storms. Do you remember the first time you saw a dust storm?
Is that one on that Easter Sunday? Was that that's the first really bad one, wasn't it? when we went down to Overstreet's?
That was the first real bad.
Really bad.
But the dirt was blowing before we left for city.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't remember that. But I tell you that the first one that
the
we saw.
The scary one. The scary one was in 34.
Yeah, it was in 34, wasn't it? And I would have been 9, I guess. And my grandmother was at our house, and we had an uncle who lived down in the close to the Willamore store, which was a mile from us. And she decided that she wanted to go down to my uncle's. And here was this storm, you know, billowing up here. So he took her down there, and our neighbors came up and got us to come down to their house, which was just a half mile down there. And I can remember it got so black that we couldn't see each other at all. They couldn't keep even a match lit, could they? It was just so heavy in there, you know, with the dirt. But I can remember crying because I thought my dad had blown away, you know. I can just remember crying. And that helped the situation, you know. But also, there had been a funeral that day, hadn't there? And there were a lot of people who stopped at that house also, coming home from the funeral. I would guess that we probably had 25 people in there or more. But in the meantime, my dad was sitting outside in the car he had gotten back.
But he didn't get in until, you know, all of this kind of eased. But that probably lasted, what, 2 hours?
It was 2 hours before it came in, but it blew all night.
Yeah, it blew all night, but it did get to where it wasn't quite so dark. But it was...
I remember it was usually late afternoon.
Yeah, it was late afternoon. It was probably about, what, 4 or 5 half the time that happened? Do you remember that?
I remember the one later more than I remember.
But you don't remember that? Well, maybe you were somewhere.
Oh, I probably was.
Oh, you were. No, I was there.
But anyway, it was just pretty, it was really scary. It really was.
Another thing we had to do before the dirt storm got there, we could see it coming. We had to get the chickens all back in the chicken house or they would blow away.
Yeah.
And that was a job. Get the chickens in at the daytime.
Do you remember any signs from animals before you would see the dust storm coming?
Birds.
Yeah.
The birds coming out of the birds.
Well, a lot of times the dirt storms, the way I remember them, I was pretty small, they just rolled.
Yeah,
and
just like
rolled in, and there wasn't much wind.
And they were beautiful. They really were pretty. They were pink.
It was kind of a calm.
Brown.
It just settled over you. And then the wind came later. But it was, the wind had pushed all this.
We were standing out there watching. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and here across here, you could describe, see this rays. We thought it was clouds coming up at first. And I don't know, how long did it take for that to boil up? Probably get there an hour, you think?
Oh, I think an hour. I think an hour, probably.
And the different colors were caused by the different types of soil that it was covering.
But see, he's looking at this over here. But it was prettier than what that was because, I don't know, it just billowed.
And it was always from the north.
Uh-huh. It was always from the north. We never had it from any other direction.
Thousands of birds. Mm-hmm.
And birds.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of birds.
But I don't remember the little animals, do you?
No. Well, they were talking about rabbits.
But we want to talk. We want to talk about rabbits. I don't know whether anybody's talked about rabbits before.
Well,
but
we haven't heard from you. So.
No, well. I don't really remember that much about it. Do you remember ever going to one of those?
Never. I didn't go to one.
I remember.
You remember going? Did you get to go?
I had to stay in the car. I was little, but they didn't have guns mostly. Just
they beat them to
clubs.
They beat them to death with clubs, and that we had so many. You know, they were just rabbits. Now we don't even see a rabbit out here.
Well, we got rabbits in our house.
They drive them into.
Well, but we did have them after that time, but we don't now.
Put a fence and see, drive them into a V shape, and then they got in there and just killed them with clubs and baseball bats and things like that.
Then what did they do with them?
Didn't they sell them?
I've seen some piles of them on a truck. And
I think they sold them for something for some kind of food.
Dog food or something?
Yeah,
like
I think dog food or something.
You guys never ate any rabbits that familiar?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but not because they did it that way. Yeah, we just.
Daddy would shoot them, wouldn't he? And we did eat it. Mother did them just like fried chicken, and hers was just about as good as fried chicken. Mm-hmm. When I fixed one time, it was like rabbit.
Those guys that did it probably thought it was a sport, you know. But farmers wanted it done. Because...
Well, I think the farmers felt like they had to because they were eating what little stuff was there, and there wasn't much stuff anywhere.
Those dirt storms were really pretty depressing for people. My folks always said it was right in the middle of the Depression, of course. It said it wouldn't have been so bad, the Depression wouldn't have been so bad if it hadn't been for the dirt storms. And that made it kind of a double, nobody had money.
It's a double whammy.
Barely eked out a living. And then the dirt was very depressing.
So, I remember when we could see them coming, and my mother would get towels and wet them and put them all around the windows and try to keep the dirt from coming on in, you know, because they'd come right through the windowsills.
Yeah.
And so that was our job, to get those towels wet, you know, and get them in the windows and around the doors, at the bottoms of the doors, you know, and things as much as you could to keep it out as much as you could. But we had a linoleum on our floor, and you could see your footprints on it, you know. You just walked through it, and it was so fine. It was like face powder. You know, and it kind of stuck together a little bit like face powder.
Oh, well.
And if it got damp, it was really a mess. I mean, you know.
My mother was very strong with keeping ourselves looking good. And every night we had to wash our faces and put cream on. And we'd wake up in the morning and here would be our eyes. Because here was the dust all over us, you know, but here was our eyes and that was all you could see.
Dean said he remembered his mother putting a wet sheet up over their bed.
Yeah.
Not touching them, but, you know, from the headboard down to mm-hmm. the... So that to try to keep the dust out of them while they were sleeping. And the next morning they'd get up and they could write on the sheet, you know. Mm-hmm. It was just a thin, sticky... Wet.
I think ours was a little thicker than that, wasn't it?
We scooped out the shovel.
We really had it.
It was everywhere.
Yeah. Nothing to stop it.
But you know, we lived in Goodwill after we were married in the early 50s, and we had some pretty bad dirt storms then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We did go through a state.
Those there. Were a little more sand than dirt, maybe. We said we were getting Colorado sand, but because you could hear it hit the side of the house and stuff like that, you know. But, so it was quite a while there. Maybe it went and came back again.
One thing I remember vividly is the way the sand banked up around the house. Mm-hmm. Then we'd have another dirt storm, and these would all be in a different place. Mm-hmm. Well, it pretty well, it half covered our barn, the sand. So Daddy had to finally raise the barn above that so we could run the cows in the milk.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you a little story of my mother. She was alive. She would she'd slap me for this, you know, and get after me. But you know, it was so depressing. And it lasts sometimes 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Three.
Three.
3 days.
That's 2 days.
And people had to have something to do, you know. You couldn't go outside. And of course, if you remember, this was in Prohibition days. And my folks didn't consume alcohol. Very little, but I recall them telling about this more than I actually remember the experience. But I remember the people. There was another couple that had two daughters, and I don't remember. They were a little older than I was, but I don't remember where they came to the house and played. I don't remember that, but my parents and this other couple played cards. And, you know, they played by the hour. There wasn't anything else to do, and I don't remember what kind of cards they played. I don't remember whether they chose pardons or anything like that, but they had like a half a pint of spirits. Like I said, this was Prohibition days, and they, as a reward, the winners got a little sip of the bottle, and the losers just got to smell the cat. And I remember my folks telling this thing. And I'm sure it happened. But, for, you know, a half pint bottle, you'd have to make that last a long time.
That's why they just got the smell, huh?
Stories like that. And a lot of humor stories come out of the book. Really. They call this Drinker's Mail. They said, we'll play Drinker's Mail.
I think we did used to, sometimes in the storm, they have to string up a rope from the house to the barn in order for us to get out there to milk the cows. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. They do that in snowstorms, too. Mm-hmm.
And I remember one storm we had, where we had snow with a dirt storm, and that you remember those dirty snow banks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just be black.
If I was out playing somewhere and I saw a storm coming, you know, I was always told, come right home, because if you got caught in it, you couldn't find your way home.
Did you know of anyone that was lost in the storm?
Who was?
I do remember that we used to have to wear, like, dust things over our, you know, when we went to school, and a lot of times we kept them on in the classroom. Because they, I don't know whether you all ever did or not, did you? The dust things.
I don't think that. But a lot of times we would be getting ready to go to school. I think my 8th grade graduation, the dirt was blowing so badly. Somebody would be watching over this side of the car and somebody over here to keep my dad in the middle of the We finally got there, didn't we?
Did you graduate?
Every time I had an important event, the darn flu.
I don't remember, recall any deaths.
No, now talking about that, I remember somebody getting lost in the storm, and I think they found their way by following a fence.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember it.
My dad got caught in one of, around Tribune, Kansas, which is 70 miles north of here. And it was just black. He said you couldn't see the radiator on the old car. You didn't know where you were, and he finally pulled over on the left side of the road, and there was a little furrow made by the grader. He opened the door and looked straight at the ground to know that he was even on the road. And he drove that way for several miles, real slow, until he hit the town of Tribune and spent the night there. It's kind of hard to visualize. You know, we had dirt here in the air the other day, but it wasn't like these
no,
things.
No, nothing,
here.
Nothing.
It's just almost total darkness.
Good thing I might turn around and gone home if I saw one of those.
Yes, well, you would want to.
Yeah. Well, we haven't had one of those for a long time. Probably in the 50s. Was that when that last one was?
Probably, right? I don't know. Their agriculture procedures became, they figured out what was causing it.
But they were breaking up too much ground, and that was what it was.
And every year, too. Uh-huh. That was a deal.
We had one in about 53, because that was when Jody started the school, and I was going to come up in late, and it was black as night.
We rode the school bus to school. One fella took the back seat out of his car and had little benches built in there, and that was our school bus. But many times as we were coming home from school, the vehicle would stall, and so he'd have to get out and try to clean that motor of the, had so much dirt in it that it wouldn't run. And so we'd sit there, and then pretty soon, well,
just study at least.
I was in the rotor in the, what do they call them?
Distributor?
Distributor caps would get dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. You have to boil them out, get them back on there, make contact. Yeah. To keep the ignition on the car going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Distributor caps.
Did you know people who left Oklahoma?
Oh, a lot.
Friends or relatives?
No, I don't think we had any relatives live, but there were a lot of people left from Keys and Boyce City, and I'm sure here too.
My father.
And several uncles.
Yeah. I think he was just so depressed that he had to
get out of it.
But I don't,
where did your dad go?
California.
Yeah.
Where else?
That's the only place they all went from Oklahoma.
I don't think there was much as much of an exodus from the panhandle as it was downstate.
Yeah, I don't remember any of our friends.
They were
leaving.
The Okies, not us.
Yeah. I don't remember anybody from around us.
It was
why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Willie's were family owned farms, mm-hmm. and they were going to stick it out.
Yeah.
And down there, just a little acreage maybe. It wasn't that important to them maybe. I don't know.
And perhaps not that many owned their land down there. You know, I don't know.
And everybody out here, as you say, a lot of, well, everybody almost did. They were trying to hold on to their land.
It was family, you know.
Many of the survivors ended up wealthy from land, mineral royalties, things like that. Some of the old timers got north of town, ended up with more land because it was cheap. Mm-hmm. When the good times did come.
And a lot of them lost land during that time.
We,
and what about killing the cows? What about the cows? Has anybody ever mentioned that?
The government.
I don't know very much about it.
The government ordered that.
And how much did they pay each individual?
But if they hadn't, they would have died anyway.
Yeah.
One year, I can remember, the only cow feed we had, our neighbor and my dad went out and cut thistles, and they stacked them.
You know what a thistle is?
I do know what a thistle is.
And that's all we had to feed the cows. Okay.
Do you remember anyone in this area sort of thinking that wasn't such a good idea, that even if they knew it had to be done, they didn't like the idea of the government killing cows?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think they could,
there was any way, because they were so skinny, thin, weren't they, that they had to go ahead. The government did it for a good purpose.
What about other government programs?
How were those?
Well, some of them we could have existed without. I remember they started parity payments. I can't explain it to you. But I remember that we had received a parity payment of $15 and it's close to Easter. So we went to town and Mother bought each one of us a pair of shoes, material for new dresses, and I think overalls for my dad, and something for myself. With $15, I still had some left. So that's how far money would go there. But that's the only parity, I remember parity payments.
Mm-hmm. Well, Daddy measured land at that time.
Yeah,
you know,
started measuring land, wheat land.
That was
one of
the jobs.
They put people to work building buildings, government programs, WPA, and things of that sort, so that they would have a job and get a little money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think my dad helped, or our dad, helped haul coal to the school and bring in canned goods, and they used to do that. Mm-hmm. But we didn't, we moved to Keys. We had a new school building built by the WPA.
Yeah, it's still
in fact, Alice was fortunate enough to start
school.
Twice in new schools. Out in Boise City was brand new, and then helping in Keys was brand new. Mm-hmm.
So how do people perceive President Roosevelt then? Is it seen as very, is he seen as very positive?
Well, I think he was considered okay.
I think so.
I can't remember being really.
No, it wasn't. It didn't get hot like that.
Yeah.
Then.
Our newspaper came from Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
Of course, it was always there too. You know,
Wichita Beacon.
Yeah, Wichita Beacon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was our.
Yeah, we read that. We didn't read the Daily O'Connor.
I didn't think we knew it existed.
Just like we know more. Just like now we know more Amarillo News than we know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still true now?
Hmm?
It is out here.
Except we all know.
If you've ever noticed down at this, we have a daughter and granddaughter and sister-in-law and everybody down that way. And when you watch the news and weather, quite often the Panhandle isn't even on the map.
No.
I mean, they chop it off right there, you know.
Well, not anymore on Channel 9. We learn more about Guyman and Kenton.
We don't get Channel 9.
No. but really, they talk a lot about Kenton and Boise City are mentioned a lot. Because I keep up with
them. Well, I want to get back to a little more general of a question. So one of the things that I'm interested in, people have been talking about, is sort of home remedies and medicine.
Oh,
how did you treat things like a stomachache or a earache?
Okay, how about castor oil? First, my mother gave it to us when we felt bad, and then she gave it to us while we had whatever it was in order, you know, and then she gave it to us to heal us, to cure us.
To clean us out,
we took 3 doses of castor oil every time we were sick. And I still shiver just thinking about that.
Our favorite thing was calcium. She put calcium on any cut or anything.
And it was fabulous. It healed anything.
It wasn't calcium, it's coral.
Coral.
And for a cold, she made turpentine coral and lard and rubbed that on.
Yeah. How about, what kind of things do you remember?
Well, probably the main thing I remember, because I don't remember being sick very much, but I did have asthma.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was as a result of the dust.
Right.
My mother had asthma also. My sister didn't. But at the time, we thought I was just having a little spell of the flu or something, you know, but I couldn't breathe. So I'd sleep in a lawn chair, a folding canvas lawn chair. And if I didn't go to school, I'd sit in that lawn chair, you know, by the window. And at the time, we thought it was flu because, you know, it eventually would make you sick.
Yeah.
But I think it was just nothing but asthma and allergies.
Huh.
And you just kind of, I don't remember taking a whole lot of medicine. I really don't. Later, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But when I was little, I
don't remember. Don't you remember?
What are you talking about down there?
We had sassafras tea. always in the fall before we start, you know, before the cold weather got there. Mother liked that. I don't know why we drank it, but we
did. It was good, too.
Yeah, it was very good.
Oh, you still buy it?
Oh, yeah, because I make myself some every once in a while. But it's not as good as it was when I was a kid.
Sassafras, an herb.
But I used to got away and they cast oil, she put it on in orange juice. Almost turned me against orange juice, but
well,
I
got
over it. Yeah, that's awful.
I remember Camp Ophanique. Of course, that might have been a little bit later, but I have a little bottle at the house that was, I mean, it must be 50 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the original. Mm-hmm. Mother thought that solved a lot of problems.
That was being used at that time.
We used a lot of guar candy.
Black guar, no, it's not. No, it's some kind of
black candy. Horehound candy. For cough. It's terrible.
Guar candy. You know, we use that guar.
That's for pneumonia.
Yeah, GUIACAMPH. And it was a green. Very green, very strong, but boy, it's...
What did you do with that?
Rubbed it on your chest.
My mother was subject to pneumonia a lot.
So, doctor recommended that, but you could buy it over the counter. You didn't have to have a prescription for it.
It's a green salve, but I'm real thick.
And you talked about
Horehound
candies. It sort of used like a cough drop?
Oh, yeah. It was used as a cough drop. Nasty.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I took some of that to school one time, too.
Yeah.
Because we'd read a story that... You know, mentioned it, and, well, what is that? And so I just went, the first time I found some, I bought it and took it to school. Everybody gets a piece. You know, none of them finished it.
You liked it?
I didn't like it. I still buy it.
I don't know.
Be sure I say it right.
You like it
either. I don't say it right.
I like it.
Well, it's awfully strong.
It's supposed to be good for cough.
That'd probably be good for you.
Yeah.
Since you're having trouble.
Maybe you should, have some of
them. Really, my husband was talking about the spirits, but for congestion or sometimes they would fix a little
hot toddy.
Hot toddy.
Mother fixed hot toddies for them.
Yeah. It would loosen things up just about as quick as.
Yeah.
It
really stop your coughing.
Uh-huh. What's exactly in a hot toddy?
You mean now or then?
Has it changed?
Probably. But there was lemon juice and.
Whiskey,
yeah. That was about all you bought.
And honey.
And a little honey. Mm-hmm. And watered down a little bit.
My husband kind of likes it when he gets a cough.
And what part of it did you heat? Because I know it was warm.
The whole, I heat the
you
whole thing.
You just heat the whole
I
thing?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I heat it in the microwave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We didn't eat it in the microwave. We didn't eat
No, we knew that one then. But I mean, I have since I've been married, yeah.
What's your favorite food to eat when you're in the 30s? What was your favorite thing?
Fried chicken.
Our mother fried the best fried chicken in the whole eternal world. Well, none of us can fry it as good.
She raised her own, you know.
Yeah, and chocolate,
one
chocolate cake.
In the day.
Chocolate cake with or without icing in the 30s.
Oh, with.
Yeah.
And
she,
fudge.
And she baked bread, which
fudge.
Was...
And donuts, fried donuts.
How about you? What were you eating?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sitting here trying to think. It was a treat to have a piece of cube steak, you know, the processed steak. Mother had them bring chickens in from the country. She had someone that would bring her a live chicken.
Yeah.
And they had a place to put it when they brought it to the house, and when she'd come home or on... Anyway, she'd take it out, and there was a tree stump about 30 inches high, and she'd driven two nails in it, and she'd stretch that chicken's neck across those two, between those two nails, and chop its head off. And then she'd hang it on the clothesline and let it bleed. And then you'd pick it and scald it and, you know, the things that I'm sure you all did all the time.
My mother...
Margie, you need to tell the story about the worms.
The worms?
This is so cute.
Well, during the dry years, you know, once in a while we'd have an invasion of those green army worms. Our mother was sitting on the menstruation grab, and she went to Stillwater for their meeting in August, I believe, their conference or convention. And so that left us to take care of the garden, the chickens, and everything. So I guess I was the only one that had learned to fix the chicken. So anyway, well, Dad rang. He did that part, and then I did the rest of it.
Well, I picked it.
Okay, let's
I always got to pick
them. Alice was out in the garden trying to get the worms off all the garden stuff. And so I went in and I was ready to cut it up and started to cut it and got up down to the crawl, and there were these worms crawling. I couldn't finish it, so the late neighbor lady came up and finished it. Yeah, they were all but 8 inches
Oh, that they really did, yeah. And when Mother changed,
you didn't save the garden, didn't you?
Yes, we did, but Mother was very unhappy. She didn't think. She said, "Why didn't you just let it go? We spent hours out there picking those worms off the broccoli. I remember especially off the broccoli. They loved it.
We
broccoli.
Always had a garden. I think.
And what we did with our garden, we'd have the fence around it, and my dad would use gunny sacks. They would put gunny sacks clear around there to stop the wind. So they had
rabbits.
What?
And the rabbits.
And, well, rabbits too, but I think it was mostly to cut the wind off so that everything just didn't blow to pieces. But I could remember those gunny sacks being clear around it. They had to have something to protect it, you know.
We lived up, it was kind of a hill, so we were up here where all the wind did. Our neighbors were down in this kind of little low place. But we always had good water. Our well water was good.
We had marvelous water. And we kept our milk and our cream and our butter cool by putting them in a tank that
in the well
fresh water, that had water running all the time.
Did that keep it cold or just cool?
Mm-hmm, really
cool.
Good.
Yeah,
but
just
it
cold.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't cold. Ice cold, but it was.
But it was just right.
Well, I don't know what did we keep the butter out there too?
Separated the milk.
Yeah.
We drank skim milk, but we poured the cream out.
And it was a lot.
Well, we sold cream and eggs. That's what bought our groceries for.
Yeah.
So when you separate the milk. Separate the cream from the milk.
Mm-hmm.
Would it? Is it, then the result is skim milk?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With all the fats out of it.
Yes,
all of the fat.
So if you sold your cream, and you know with your egg and cream, honey, all you drank on the farm then was skim milk.
We used to drink was chocolate milk, and so we pour all of this chocolate. And Mother made the chocolate. And we put the chocolate in there and pour half of it cream.
Oh, okay.
That was so good.
We used to put churning butter on, so
yes.
It all was better.
Well, what was Christmases like? Did you decorate for Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Always had a tree. We didn't put lights out everywhere like they do now.
Yeah.
But you always had a tree, and I always had a doll. And then I'd go over to my aunt's Christmas Day and take my doll, and my cousin would have a new doll, and we'd play. I love dolls. But anyway, we had a good Christmas,
yeah.
You know, considering.
I think all of us played with dolls a lot longer than kids do now. And
they
I
don't.
Think it'd be better off if they played with dolls.
Well, the dolls have changed, too.
Dolls. Yes,
yeah.
We didn't have teenage. Size doll and baby dolls. Mm-hmm. And Mother made the clothes for them.
Yeah.
And Mother made a lot of our clothes until they started sewing. She'd just go ahead and make mine. But when we all three dressed alike, she dressed us alike, and they used to call us what, the three cotton tops? When we were little.
So you've really gone a long ways. You really danced a long ways since you used to dress alike.
You
really made a lot of changes.
Only we are dressed alike. So.
I know.
That's what he's saying.
You haven't changed a bit.
My mother was quite a seamstress. She could make all three of us dress in one day.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I think I made a dress once. It took like a year.
And you weren't happy with it then?
Didn't sit right.
You walk
around
like this.
He remembers it.
Yeah, you were there, right? So what was Christmas like on the farm?
We always had a live tree, not an artificial one.
Yeah.
We had lights on it too because Daddy had the...
Yeah.
But not many people had lights on the tree.
Right.
But we
always got a lot of clothes. Mother would sew a lot. We got a lot of clothes. Usually a new coat and a new hat and new dresses that mother made, and usually shoes to match. My mother was on the fashion. She knew the fashion before it ever got there.
She set the fashion, huh?
But a lot of times she did. Mother was a beautiful lady, and she. But Christmas was special.
Well, the main thing I can remember is the one Christmas that Daddy made the toy chest, the red one, you know. And I don't know what he made it out of. I really don't. But it was just so neat. And we kept dolls in there for a long time. And I think that ended up down in the cellar. And I think all of it ruined, probably. And I don't know why we didn't get it out when we should have.
Always had good things to eat.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And everybody, we always had our Christmas on Sunday morning.
Yeah. That's just the family tradition?
You mean?
I meant Christmas morning. Christmas
oh,
morning.
I thought, I couldn't remember we had it on Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas morning. We always had it. A lot of people had it in the night.
Well, we never did open anything before. Mm-mm. You know, yeah. We always waited till the morning.
Yeah.
And I'd lay there and listen to Santa Claus. I can remember that.
Open yours on Christmas morning?
I think so. I believe so.
My neighbors always did. Christmas Eve.
My sister was 7 years older than I was, and I was just kind of a pain to her, you know, in every way. But it was fun. We had a good Christmas.
But you know, during all of those 4 years, we did get rain. Invariably, we would get a big rain around Decoration Day, which we called it.
Yeah.
And so Mother finally got to where she had to have somewhere to put her little chickens to keep them alive. So my dad built some kind of a cave, do you remember that? And put the little chickens down there. And we got this big rain, and it washed down and it came over. That was kind of sad. But back then, Mother and the neighbor lady always made the flowers for the graves.
Yeah.
And they'd start in 2 months ahead or 3 months
ahead. And they would be beautiful.
Flowers,
but what was that kind of crepe paper stuff that they used?
Crepe paper, probably.
No, it wasn't crepe paper.
Mm-hmm.
But then this other stuff came
then this
out.
Other, and it was a real soft, pliable.
And they made a lot of violets, I remember.
Yeah.
But what was that?
And then they put them in boxes and glass over them.
So it wouldn't, and they'd bring them home and paint them, and if the glass was broken, they'd replace the glass each year. And
we didn't have any fresh flowers.
Well, do you remember when times started getting better? Is there anything that stands out in your mind and you thought, oh, things are better now. This isn't as bad as it was last year.
Just about the time the war came along.
Yeah.
Green grass.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. You know, things were growing a little bit. We had lilac bushes, and I love lilac bushes. And my backyard had a lot of trees in it, you know, and they were green. And it was just, it just looked better. It made you feel better.
Yeah.
Was there a time when your lilac bushes never bloomed?
Oh, yeah.
So your flowers coming out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we had a white one too. We had a white lilac bush and violet, you know, or purple. And we always had flowers later.
Yeah.
Tulips, I remember.
How about you guys? Is there anything that sticks out in your mind that things are better? She mentioned the war. She mentioned flowers.
It was right after I started the college, wasn't it?
That things began to change.
Things changed. And I started in 40.
I started in 40.
The fall of 40.
And we just began to sort of bluff out everything, you know, in between the Depression, the dirt storms, and the war, and the plan, the war it is. But we had our first and second years of college again.
How do you think living through the dirty 30s has affected who you are now? What kind of things do you think you learned then that you still carry with you?
Well, I just feel like I'm not sure that as a parent and a wife, I could have gone through those years like my parents did, like our parents did. Don't you think that? Do you wonder sometime if you could have gone through and done?
You do what you got to.
Yeah, I guess so, but I sure wonder sometime if I could have gone through and did the great things that they did, you know, to survive that.
In certain areas, I'm conservative. Yeah. Very conservative. I don't like to make payments on anything. You know, I don't like to go in debt for anything. It's just like, you know, I don't know. It just made you very...
I think we're all that way. I still don't. If I can't pay for it, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I think it made us stronger people. I really think that...
I think in a way it made us overly conservative. Boys.
And I think we all have a grocery store in our pantry, don't we? Really, truly.
I do. Alice tried to straighten mine up. She's been visiting me this week. She tried to kind of find something in there. We couldn't even find it.
I think we were stronger for it. I think with adversity a little bit easier than...
Yeah.
Makes you a little closer too, maybe, you know, friends, and I mean, you kind of depend on each other, you know.
Well, I still feel like that during those years that we were probably closer to the Lord at that time than any time. I mean, I know we're all strong Christians now, but I really think that people got closer to the Lord, and more people were in church and helping each other more. And our mother did a lot of helping people who were ill and so forth during those years too. And I just don't know how many times she was off helping somebody, taking care of someone.
We had a lot of help.
Called out at night a lot of times.
You don't think having those 2 million tons of dirt thrown down in your face made you question why it was happening? Why he was doing this to you?
I never thought of that.
I didn't think of it as the Lord doing it. I just, we just went through.
Wondered why.
One of you thought you had something really bad.
No, I think it came on so gradual that we just grew with it.
Yeah.
We just grew with it.
I was young enough that I didn't think about that.
I didn't either.
You just really hope that the dirt wasn't going to blow when you had...
I certainly never blamed the Lord with it at all, that's for sure.
So were those the good old days? What was your fondest
memory? They were wonderful days. And I mean, we went through a lot, but they were really wonderful days. And we were happy and had a good life. And
but I wouldn't want to go through the dirt.
You don't want to go through it again, but they, we really, there are so many good things to remember about.
I'm sure we have a little bit different slant on it than our parents would, you know, because they had the responsibility, which we didn't have.
I was wanting to talk a little bit about your dad leaving for California.
I really don't know. At the time, he didn't have a job. And I think maybe he was kind of depressed about the whole, you know, no job and no work and the...
Well, it was a depressing...
...dirt and everything. And he had his sister out there. And so he went out there and never came back.
He lived in a fairly big house.
Yes.
In town. Was he involved? Was he... Did he have a good job? Or
no. No. He worked for the highway department for a while, and that's what I mainly remember. Bookkeeping, he was a bookkeeper, he kept books.
What age were you when he left?
7. And my sister was 14.
He lost his job?
I would assume so. I really don't remember the particulars of... Well, see, mother was... she was shamed of having to do it. And she didn't do it for several years, and then a lawyer told her, you need to have some legal rights here, and as long as you're married, you have to share everything.
Right.
And so, and my grandfather was very good to her because he was ashamed also. And he gave her the house and put it in her name after she got the divorce so that it wouldn't be any problem. And. And there was a little piece of land he gave her, you know. So it worked out.
Was your dad still alive?
No.
Did you ever stay in contact with him at all?
He came back when somebody died. when my grandfather died, he came back, and he came back when my uncle died. And then,
how did you feel towards him?
Not very good.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just curious about that. I haven't heard a situation like that.
Yeah, it was very rare. It didn't happen much, I don't think.
Our granddad homesteaded out here and he left because he couldn't stand it. And we did not locate him then until the 40s. But he had homesteaded this quarter, and when he left, my grandmother and my great-granddad who had homesteaded next to her went ahead and developed that, you know, but the state of Oklahoma would not grant her the rights, you know, for that, and she had to live there till 1919 before she was able to get homesteaded.
6 years, was it?
It's supposed to be five.
Was it five? I know. I've read some articles about it being 6 years, and someone had to live. Dean's grandparents on the other side were also homesteaders, and they lived in the dugout, and they had to live there so many years in order to claim it, you know. And the father was a cobbler, shoe cobbler, and he had a place in town where he worked, right back here, I think he said, somewhere. But he'd walk out 26 miles every weekend.
Oh, my head.
But the mother and the children stayed out there.
Yeah.
Because somebody had to live out there, you know. So his father didn't go to school until they moved to town. I think he was like 11, was he?
10.
10. And he said they hauled water, you know, quite a distance. And, of course, that homestead, I don't believe, developed, did it? They didn't.
It's a dugout.
But I mean, they never built a home on it. They came to town after the 6 years.
They just stayed on it 2 or 4 years.
Well, long enough to claim it.
His shoe cobbler shop would be within probably 30 or 40 feet of what we're sitting. I remember the building that was here before this building was built. It was called the Ridgelands of Texas County Bank. And the entrance to it was across the corner up here instead of in the middle. Jay will remember that. But in the back of this bank, which would be somewhere in here to the alley, there's little stores that face the south. I remember a little restaurant, it wasn't 10 feet wide. And my dad told me, of course, my granddad was dead for a while, but he said that his dad's, my granddad's shoe shop was in one of these little stores here on this side. Completely different building than what this one is. I remember when this building was built.
Back in
this little tiny
store. Oh, yeah, this little
hole. Well, I know something I wanted to say. We used to, when they started Pioneer Day, and I don't know what year that was.
32, they said the other day, or last night or something.
Anyway, we looked forward to that all year long. We just couldn't wait for it to come. Well, one time, it was blowing. But Daddy, he let us all go ahead and get ready. And it was just blowing so bad that he got about halfway. And we turned around and went back and we cried all the way. Because we didn't get to go.
We came one time when the dirt was blowing. And, you know, these little photographic places we can pop in. Every one of them looked as brown because we were all dirty.
We were all
every picture is brown.
But I'll never will forget how we all acted. I'm sure my dad was upset with us because we all cried all the way home.
This building across the street was J.C. Penney building, and my mother worked over there, and I remember as a little kid for Pioneer Day to watch the parade. We went upstairs and looked out the window, which crazy window looked out, you know, and it was all taking place out on Main Street, and they had a stagecoach robbery, and they had the stagecoach come down the street, and the guys robbed them, and then about that time here came the sheriff and posse, and they were all on horses, and they caught the bandits, and they hung them. I mentioned
them
across the corner of them out here. They had some sort of a rigging set up there, and these guys had a harness on under their clothing. And they put this noose around their neck and then had a hook in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And they strung them up right here on the corner and let them hang there for an hour or so.
Oh, wow.
I
I was upstairs, you know.
How old were you on that?
Oh, I couldn't have been over 4 or 5 years
but
old.
But you surely can remember, right?
I'm impressed that was me.
Yeah, it impressed me, you know, they're hanging down there on the street.
Well, that was back when everything was on Main Street and the crowds were just on both sides of that.
The crowds were terrific. Crowds were terrific.
Thousands of people.
I saw that postcard that they had.
Big of them.
Well, they said you could have one of those. Did they tell you that? That you could have one?
Did
you? Because I think I took one of those on too. But that is just about the way the crowds used to be. I tell you, when there wasn't anything else for them to go to, well, Pioneer Day was the big day.